Welcome to the Rechoice Podcast.
Ever been stuck on repeat? Do you rehash stories in your head? What was the message of that story? And is it true? Perhaps it's time for a rewrite. What is your Rechoice word?
It is re-gift.
Resilient.
Relate.
Retaliation.
Welcome to Season 4 of Rechoice. Real talk about moments our guests chose differently. You can read more at rechoicepod.com, but now it's time for the show. Have you ever heard "Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat"? It's from a song in the 1950s musical Guys and Dolls, and here are part of the lyrics. People all said, "Beware, beware, you'll scuttle the ship, and the devil will drag you under by the fancy tie round your wicked throat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Sit down, you're rocking the boat." And while that song has been brought up a few times since in our nation's history, our guest today is an artist who currently has an art exhibit called The Journal Project at the Saugatuck Center for the Arts until mid-May. And you can see it online. And y'all, she rocks. And she rocks the boat. Please welcome to our show, Ruth E. Crow. Hello, Ruth.
Hello, Joe.
Ruth, thank you so much for joining us. This kind of fell together pretty quickly because when I see somebody local on TikTok doing what you were doing, it just grabbed my attention. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy to be here. And it is surprising being on TikTok. I have never posted anything on TikTok.
You're like, how'd it get there?
Well, the local minister, I'm not sure what his name is, obviously posted it, and I don't have a problem with that at all. And then it slowly but surely has gained a lot of viewership, which is so interesting to me. But it does show you the dangers of social media, too, and how quickly things can spread. So, but it's in a good way.
But in this case, you know, with Ottawa Impact, which we may discuss or may not later, but I think it was all rolled into that on TikTok. So that's how I came to see it. But let's start with a good thing. I like to start with something good that's going on for you. It doesn't have to be big, but something you're looking forward to, something good about today. What do you think?
I think I'm most excited about where the Journal Project is going. I think there's unlimited potential for it to be utilized as a tool in a lot of different areas in life, both in the public view and also the private. So I think I'm just really optimistic about trying to figure out what is going to be the best avenue taking it forward. So I'm thrilled to be at the Saugatuck Center for the Arts. I'm looking forward to being at the center on Halsted in Chicago after this.
All right.
And that's going to be August 4th through September 30th. So it moves from Saugatuck to Chicago. I'm trying to garner some of this momentum going in lots of different directions and trying to figure out what that is going to be and how best to utilize it. So that's where I am today.
Well, great. You're talking to a nationwide audience today. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's anything we can do to expose artists from West Michigan, I think, is a great thing. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I on my shows, we have quiz questions. Did you know that?
Well, no.
So you don't know these questions ahead of time, but I think you're going to know the answers. So quiz question number one, preheat the oven to 350. You'll want a family size cream of chicken soup, 16 ounce sour cream, 2 medium cans of enchilada sauce, 2 cans of Rotel drained, 1 can of green chilies, and mix it all with chicken. Warm your corn tortillas to soften them, and you are set. This is the recipe for what?
It's actually a part of my four food groups, which are Mexican food, Mexican food, Mexican food, and Mexican food. But those are chicken enchiladas. That's my family recipe for chicken enchiladas.
And you know what? I got a photo of that recipe.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's not a secret, right?
No, it's not a secret, but I tend to make mine even hotter now. I chop up some jalapenos or serrano peppers, and I put them in there. So the hotter, the better is my motto.
That's great. So, hey, check the show notes, listeners. You'll see the recipe right there. So great. You nailed question one. Question two, blank is a public co-educational university in Denton, Texas, with two health science-centered focus campuses in Dallas and Houston. While it has been fully coeducational since 1994, it is the largest state-supported university primarily for women in the United States.
That's right. And that would be my alma mater, Texas Woman's University, who you probably didn't know this, but it is the sister school, or was the sister school, of Texas A&M. So back in the day, when Texas A&M was predominantly a male military school, they would bus up those Aggies up to North Texas, to Denton, to date the Texas Women's University female students. Now, this was way before my time. But yeah, that's the story.
That's really cool, because we definitely have some College Station listeners.
Awesome.
Tell me about 1979.
In 1979, we won the national championship in softball. And when I was competing at the college level, the NCAA had not yet overtaken women's sports. So it was the AIAW, which was running women's sports. Men's and women's sports were separate. So when I was competing, a school like Texas Women's University, which was a pretty small university, we were competing with everybody.
The big dogs. Yeah.
Yeah, the big dogs. So we ended up competing against UCLA in the championship, and we were coming through the loser's bracket, and we had to win two games in order to win the national championship. And we won both those games, 1-0 and 1-0. And our pitcher at the time, I did not pitch in either of those two games. Her name was Kathy Aronson, and she's actually from Holland, Michigan.
All right.
So there's a little trick trivia for you as far as tying everything in here. So yeah.
That leads you for the Hall of Fame in 2012 at TWU.
Yes. Yeah, so our team, as a team, we were initiated into the Hall of Fame for winning the national championship.
Well, that sounds epic. And you know what? We'll probably connect to another 2016 Hall of Fame shortly. For our last quiz question, the motto of this location is the birthplace of American liberty. Blank is in New England at the extreme tip of Cape Cod in Massachusetts, a small coastal resort town with a year-round population near 3,700. It's known for its beaches, harbor, artists, tourist industry. It's a popular vacation destination for many to exhale and be themselves. Where are we?
We're definitely in P-Town, Provincetown.
All right, Provincetown, P-Town. There we go.
When I was younger, as a gay person in my young adulthood, P-Town and Provincetown, it represented a place that we could go as a gay person and vacation and really just be yourself. Very accepting. It's not saying that there weren't straight people there also, but mm-hmm. It was just a very accepting, laid-back place, great restaurants, great bars, beautiful beaches, entertainment. I mean, it was just the best. And art. They have an entire street of art galleries. It's just a phenomenal place to go. I was able to go there probably in my 30s, and I've probably been about 10 times since then. Now, it's interesting because a lot of those communities, such as P-Town and Key West, and even here in Saugatuck, it's changed quite a bit because now with gays being so much more accepted everywhere across the United States, everybody, I mean, you can go anywhere. We always only went to those places typically to vacation. But now, you know, you can go anywhere and everybody wants your money now. So it doesn't really matter.
That's right, exactly.
But it is more accepting. But I think a lot of these places figured out, oh, there's something to be had here. So
yes, the secret's out.
Exactly. But those places are still, they still have that kind of flavor to them. But you don't feel like, well, that's the only place I can go now. But they certainly are fun, though, either way, for anybody.
Well, and certainly from reminiscing standpoint, right?
Absolutely.
That was a special spot. And when I read that description, it immediately made me think of Saugatuck.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great job. We're going to officially title this episode right now. So here we go. Ruth Ella Crow, what is your rechoice word?
Reckless.
I was so happy to see that. That's so cool.
Well, it's reckless for two different reasons. Number one, because my initials are REC, but also I do have a tendency to be a tad reckless. I don't know if I would deem it reckless, maybe risky, but risky didn't. I couldn't spell risky with R-E, so I went with reckless.
I think reckless, it does bring in that idea of risk. And,
yes.
You know, no matter what, it's going to cost you whether you say something or not. And absolutely. I think sometimes it takes a reckless spirit to just get it rolling, you know?
Right.
There's a moment that I was on TikTok and watching you speak, and I want us to catch the rest of the audience up that aren't from West Michigan.
I may steal some of her thunder here, but she's a previous Allendale grad and member of our Hall of Fame here at Allendale.
My name is Ruth Crow, and I'm an alum of Allendale High School, and I am a member of the Allendale High School Hall of Fame. I was lucky to be surrounded with a great group of females, a few of them are here tonight, that love sports, who went on to bring Allendale its first state championship in any sport in 1977. I went on in life to achieve the highest of standards. I defended our country as a member of the U.S. Army, and I served my community as a police officer with the LAPD. And I was going to list all my other accomplishments here tonight, but I realized that I am a person of value, and I don't need to provide to you or anyone a resume to prove I'm worthy to speak. I read two disturbing articles today in the Washington Post and the New York Times. Nearly 3 in 5 teenage girls feel persistent sadness. 1 in 3 girls seriously consider suicide, the highest in a decade. There is currently a nationwide epidemic of depression and anxiety among teenagers. Art can be so helpful to these kids to express themselves and possibly reduce some of that stress. It is just one tool to offer them. But I was recently informed that school officials stated that I was not welcome at the school to help with programming for an art workshop. For no other reason except that I am gay. And as usual with bigotry, irrelevancy is made to seem relevant. The art workshop and my coming into the school was to help students and to hopefully provide a potential tool to learn how to handle life's challenges. My art workshop offered journaling and mixed media as a creative outlet for expression, the same tool that I've used throughout my whole life. I'm not here to influence anyone's sexual or gender identity. I want all kids to grow up being able to handle failure and develop resilience, regardless of who they are or how they feel like outcasts in their own community due to the color of their skin, their sexuality, or differing religious beliefs. Due to the decision of my not being welcome here at the school that I represented with such pride and success, I would like to now withdraw my name permanently from the Allendale High School Hall of Fame. The school does not have the right to hold me up on one hand as a pillar of pride and push me down with the other hand as a pillar of shame.
So, Ruth, could you briefly describe, let's start with November.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming back to your alma mater to give students an opportunity. Can you describe that first?
The reason why I'm really so happy to be in the Saugatuck Center for the Arts is because they do a lot of programming, educational programming for local schools. So that is, to me, one of the best things about having the Journal Project in that venue. And I specifically asked to be in Allendale High School because it is my alma mater, and I thought it would be really cool to be able to go back into the school and help teach an art workshop. Because my art classes were so important to me when I was a student there. And so I thought this would be a great way to be able to, you know, give back. So when it got back to me that it actually had to go in front of the school board, which was not unusual because a lot of times the school board has to vote on things that are additional monies in, you know, out of their budget.
Programming, right. after school.
It was extra programming that probably hadn't been budgeted in the original budget. So it went before the school board in November of 2022. And I was told that the vote was 5-2 in order to have this take place. And I thought that even at the time I was taken aback, and I thought, 2? who voted against me? Like, who are the two people that right. voted against me coming back into my alma mater? I'm in the Hall of Fame. And I just thought that was odd. And it bothered me quite a bit, but I put it aside and I thought, all right, well, I'm just going to sit on this for a little bit and it'll be fine. And I kind of let it go. But then when Ottawa Impact started throwing their weight around with the Ottawa County Commissioners Board, and they got rid of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and a lot of the other things that they did, then it started bothering me even more, especially since the school board at Allendale changed. In November of 2022, they only had two members that were influenced by Ottawa Impact. In January, new school board members came onto the school board, and now there were two more. So now they have four. So I knew yeah. that potentially if they would have voted in January, they probably would have voted no, or one more person or potentially two would have voted against me. And I thought, this is just crazy. Like, this is not right. I just decided then that I needed to say something. As someone who is supposedly held at such high esteem, I'm appearing as though I'm going along with a lot of the things that they're doing by being mm-hmm. in that Hall of Fame. And so that's when
so
I decided.
If I could pause for a second here, tell us just a little bit more about what you were planning for the Art for Students and why that's important to you. What is that?
The entirety of this project going into Allendale, the programming was really only working with art students in the classroom setting, doing techniques, processes that deal with image transfer and collaging. It was all art processing and a little bit of talking about the importance of keeping a journal. And that was it. And that's mm-hmm. exactly how it was described and presented to the board, because I have the notes from the November 2022 school board meeting when they actually voted on it. And it, you know, there's nothing in there about lifestyle or gender identity or sexual identity or anything like that whatsoever. It really, truly was just about working with art students and really providing them with a tool to hopefully figure out some ways to deal with their anxiety or reduce their stress, which we all have.
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
think, and it's at an epidemic level now for teenagers. And I just saw it as a way to help one particular small group of students, art students at the school. That was it.
So I want both of us to go back into time for a second. You said art was one of your favorite classes, right?
Yes.
So who was your teacher and what do you remember about that class?
Nathan Heron was my art teacher at Allendale, and he was a Vietnam vet. And I'll never forget when he walked into the classroom. He was an imposing, intimidating person. He hit his desk so hard, and he said, "Those of you that are here to get an easy A need to leave right now." And we all just sat there. No one dared to move because, you know, everybody takes art just right. to get that easy A. And he warned us, you know, right from the get-go, and he was hardcore. But he was great. He's actually one of my favorite people. I'm in touch with him on Facebook. He lives up in Alpena. He's retired and lives up there with his wife. And he was just outstanding. And I think it saved me. You know, my art classes, I spent so much time either in the gym or in the art room, just by myself working on different things. And he was just that kind of a teacher. And those moments were just so important. So I just wanted to be able to kind of give something back, going back into the classroom, especially at Allendale. To be able to do that would have been great.
And I think one of the reasons why your story spoke to me was I think back to when I was a junior and senior in high school, and you don't need to know the whole story or anything, but in short, I felt pretty lost and mm-hmm. alone and didn't really want to talk about stuff.
No.
But you put me in the art room. And I was with Raj, and Raj was very, very easygoing, but he always says, "Joe, you are one of those people that I can give you whatever materials and you're going to make something of it. You're that right. You're that creative." And so I took a couple art classes for that reason, and creative writing was another class I
right.
chose. And
right.
so again, this is just that outpouring, that expression, figuring out who you are. Yeah, I know the academics and stuff, the standards are important, right?
Right.
But That's what I see what you were providing. I want to quote from the article. What a great article.
Yeah.
you and I set this interview up, and then I read yesterday's article.
It was amazing.
Fantastic article.
Sarah Leach,
right? Sarah Leach?
Yeah, Sarah Leach. I can't say enough about her in terms of, first of all, having the courage to be that kind of an editor at a paper in Holland, which is known to be conservative. I think it's changed, but it's just like a lot of the areas over here in West Michigan. I think it's changing, and I think that's why a lot of these ultra-conservative people don't like it. They don't know how to handle it, and they can't certainly accept it. And so I think for her to write that and tie everything in together the way that she did was just amazing.
It was a phenomenal article. Yeah, Sarah, if you're listening, stellar job. And
yep.
There was a quote that I think is going to tie this together too, and that's your quote, "The school does not have the right to hold me up on one hand as a pillar of pride and push me down with the other as a pillar of shame."
Yeah.
I guess that brings us to the 2016 Hall of Fame.
Right.
Briefly tell the audience what that is, and then let's go ahead and connect it.
Well, I was inducted into the Allendale High School Hall of Fame in 2016. I was so honored, and I had so much pride in going into the Hall of Fame because I took a lot of pride as an athlete and what I represented in Allendale. And I loved growing up in Allendale. So it was great. It was a great experience. So going into the Hall of Fame in 2016. But, you know, when this happened, I didn't feel good about it. And it wouldn't be any different if I was a person of color and I had written a novel and they said to me, you know, "We really love your book, but you're not allowed to come into the school because you're black." And that's kind of breaking it down into a really simplistic terms, but it's the same thing. I just didn't feel like it was right. You know, everyone said, "Well, maybe you should reconsider pulling out of the Hall of Fame because maybe one day down the road, some kid is going to want to look up to you for inspiration." And I said, my whole thing was, yeah, but who's looking out for the kids today? Like, what about the kid that's at Allendale right now? And who's speaking up for them and who's fighting for them? And I knew that it would have an impact. I knew that it would be impactful and that it's important, and it was important to do and say, I cannot in good conscience stay affiliated with this Hall of Fame if I'm not even welcome to come back and do an art workshop. It's just totally ludicrous to me. So I just felt like I really had no choice. And now I sent my letter today to the school requesting to be permanently pulled from the Hall of Fame. But I gave them an out. You know, I said, look, if you don't like this, if you don't think that this is, you know, really what you want to have happen, then put it before the board again and have them vote. And if they'll vote unanimously to allow me to come back in, I will teach the workshop and I will withdraw my request to leave the Hall of Fame. But it needs to be unanimous. There's absolutely no reason why it shouldn't have been unanimous. And it was said to me by the board, the chair of the board, Corey Mango, that the reason why two people, the two that voted against me, had decided that they felt like it was too political. Mm-hmm. So again, that could be code for a lot of different things. But there's nothing political about the Journal Project, my exhibit at the Saugatuck Center for the Arts. It's about stories. We all have stories. The fact that I was gay was my story, but we all have stories. You just fill in the blank. It's not a recruiting poster or anything like that. It was just about journaling, mental health, art journaling, and finding a creative outlet for dealing with life's angst. And that was it. And helping kids.
Yeah.
So the fact that those two people could turn that into something other than that is really disappointing.
I want to talk to the listeners for a second. Listeners, do you consider yourself reckless? Do you consider yourself political? A lot of us can keep the cards to our chest, right? I guess what I'm hearing from you say is, how is it that being gay is seen as a political statement?
Correct. I don't know. But as I said in the article, though, too, people like that, they like to view people as a what. They don't see them as a who. And you see, that's where we create a lot of this bigotry, is because we see someone as a what. We see them as a Jew or a black or a gay person or whatever, fill in the blank. And we just see the what. And we fail to see the who. And the who is really who we are. And it's what makes us unique and what makes us, you know, something special. The what is just a cop out, and it's too mm-hmm. easy to label people. And unfortunately, these are school board members that did this. These are supposed to be the top of the educational, you know, system that's making decisions about what's right and wrong for your kids. And mm-hmm. they're operating on such a small-minded scope.
Out of fear, right?
Out of fear. And that's the other thing that I said. That's all these people use, is they use fear. And the reason why people don't want to speak out is because they will come after you. Now, I'm just waiting. You know, I'm honestly a little surprised that nothing has happened thus far. I know it's just a matter of time, and I don't really care. But they try to intimidate people, and they try to intimidate people on their side, and then they certainly try to intimidate people on our side, and just use that fear to keep people in line. It's not going to work this time.
Well, as Kate said in the article, and I think she must be, Kate Layton Colburn must be a resident. She says, a lot of people will say, no, I'm not homophobic. They can live their lives. But once you try to integrate yourself into society, they freak out. Right. Right. So that's where the fear comes in, and people fear who or what. I'm going to say what.
Right. They fear the what.
So the fear drives, I see you as a what instead of a who.
Correct.
But dang it, it's the stories that you tell in your art. Stories is what really connects all of us, and they don't want to know the story.
I guess they don't. And like I said, I think the stories are so funny because we're more alike than we are different. And,
exactly.
and they want to believe we're more different than we're alike. And I think that where they're operating from, like I said, it's small-minded, and it doesn't take humanity in mind, I don't think, a whole lot. I think they live a very small life.
One of the things you put in the email to me is that you just said, this is not due to so-called bravery. It's just a part of my DNA. I'm curious what you meant by that.
Well, I meant a couple things. First of all, because of my father, he was always kind of a rebel himself. You know, in the 70s, he painted a big peace sign on the barn door. So then we were viewed as hippies.
Big deal back then, yeah.
Yes. Everybody went to church on Sundays, and you were not really allowed to be outside even playing as a kid. Now, this was a very conservative time in Allendale.
Wow.
And my dad would purposely go out there and mow his lawn on Sundays. And then the people that were going back and forth to church, of course, had to see him. You know, he just didn't really care. He was always very welcoming as far as having different people into his home. Everyone was welcome in our house all the time. And then after I had graduated and went to college, he decided that he'd be a part of a lawsuit at Allendale, I think getting rid of the Bibles that they were giving away at graduation, but also some of the Bible teachings that they were doing in the classroom. And a lot of the classroom.
Public school. Yeah.
Public school. The interesting thing about it, that some of the people in town were so upset with him, and I don't know who did this, they were probably kids, but they drew an effigy of a body on his patio, like you would see at a crime scene, you know, how they draw a chalk line around a body. Yeah. And so that just goes to show you some of the length that these people will take sometimes. Now, again, I think that was the extreme. But anyway, they won. So again, that did not help our reputation in the town. But that's just how he was. I think I did inherit a lot of that from him. I think a lot of people feel the same way that I do. And it's not that I'm special in the way that I feel. It's just sometimes somebody has to go first. And that reckless, that ties in with that. So when I say it's in my DNA, and it's kind of like, okay, well, we all feel this way, but who's going to go first? I'm like, I'll go first. I'll do it. I'll say it. I'll speak up. And that's just how I am. I just go first. And so I don't necessarily think it's brave. I just think I like to go first. I'll say it because everyone else is thinking it. I know they're thinking it, but I'm reckless enough to just speak up.
Ruth, you have a lot of awards, but I'm going to give you another one right now. It's called the Penguin Award. Have you heard of this?
No.
So Dr. Randy Pausch, he was the guy who did the last lecture, 10, 12 years ago. But in his classes as a professor, he would give the Penguin Award out. And it wasn't necessarily for the person who hit a home run or who, you know, it's the person who swung and maybe missed.
Right.
And so when you think of penguins on an iceberg looking down in the water,
right,
they're about to go swim, right? You already know where I'm going with this, don't you?
A little bit. Someone's got to go first.
Exactly. And what's the danger of going first?
Probably for the penguin, it might still be frozen. It might hurt.
And there also might be something in there.
Well, there might be something in there, too.
Like a killer whale.
There might right? be a killer whale. That's
like
true.
You might
that's
be somebody's true. Lunch, right?
So, right.
So that was the significance from Randy Pausch of the Penguin Award. And I'm just so inspired by your story. And I really, really appreciate you using your voice.
I'm just a voice of many, honestly. I can't tell you how many wonderful people from Allendale who have contacted me after the speech, who had kids that were either gay or had gone to the school that were gay, and just were so appreciative of somebody speaking out. And the voices that you hear now, I mean, if you look at the comments on that TikTok video, I'm going to say, and this is almost unheard of to me, almost the majority of 99.9% of them, they're all positive. Mm-hmm. So those are all people that feel the same way about that issue that I spoke out against. So it's just, hopefully that's what needs to happen. And I said this to someone, I said, if I'm not willing to speak up for myself, how can I expect our allies to go to bat for us? Because we need our allies. It's not just about gay people, you know, having their voices. It's about everyone. It's about people speaking out about racism. It's about people speaking out about all these things that happen. It can't just be about what happens to you. It has to be about what happens to the betterment of all people. I think that the majority of the people do feel that way, but we get complacent a lot of times. Complacency is how Ottawa Impact got elected in the first place. They only had, mm-hmm. it was like a 34% was the rate of people showing up to vote. So it's that complacency that invites problems. And then once it gets stirred up, then we need to try to fix it. And we need to rally together and make your voices known. And that's really, that's your best tool.
Thank you. And in conclusion, I spoke with Rana, your sister.
Yes. Yep.
She says, you are her hero for your bravery, strength, and determination. She even reflects back. You just have a, you know, not this is not sponsored by Nike, but you're like a just do it person, right?
Yeah.
She remembers you working in the brutal heat at a sign making factory, I think.
Yes. Right?
To pay for college.
Yes.
You just get going. So,
yeah. It's my father's industriousness that I really, for whatever reason, it's in my DNA also. And I just, it's like, if you want to do something, you figure out a way to do it and you'll do whatever it takes to do it. So if you have to have two jobs to do it, whatever it is, you just do it. And I think I was able to complete some of those things because I knew they were temporary. I mean, I had the ability to kind of put everything aside and just focus on, you know, whether it was one summer in that really crappy job and just say to myself, I'm so happy I will never have to do this again, but I'm doing it right now so that I don't ever have to do this again. It's that ability that has helped me through my whole life.
All right. Well, you've inspired me to be a little bit more reckless.
All right.
So.
Well, get another job, Joe. Have three jobs.
Just to conclude, you know, there's a quote. I don't even know who said it, but if you avoid conflict to keep the peace, you start a war inside yourself.
That's true.
It is true, and I like that quote, but of course, I want to step back even more and see the big picture. Have you ever heard what you do speak so loudly I can't hear what you say?
No, I haven't heard that.
And well, people usually say about, you know, your body language and tone of voice, but
yep.
What if what you do is not say anything? And what does that say?
Yeah, that's really bad because it says that you are going along with the status quo. I think sometimes people think that they shouldn't say anything or they don't speak up. And I think there are so many times in our lives where you're always going to have somebody saying something like that, that you need to speak up, whether it was, you know, telling an insensitive joke about a race or a people or whatever. You just speak up and say, you know, that's really uncalled for. If we don't ever do that, then we just then you're acquiescing to whatever's being said.
Well, listeners, let's go make a ruckus. And Ruth, if there is an update between now and when this comes out, let me know, okay?
I absolutely will. Thank you, Joe. All right.
Thank you.
For all things podcast related, head over to rechoicepod.com where you can see photos of our guests, check out our merch, send us feedback, or even pick your own Rechoice word.
We can't thank our supporters enough, whether that's from our patrons through Patreon or from a one-time tip through Venmo. You keep the show up and running.
For details, check our show notes and select Support the Show. We appreciate the virtual high five.
Thank you to my son, Danny Pellerito, for producing our music. And listeners, thank you for stopping by.
Reframe your past, renew your present, and reclaim your future.
Because after all, it's always a choice.
Take care and see you next time.